Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us, we are very glad that you are here. And a few ways to learn more about our worshiping community is to check out the ways that we are church together. In your bulletin, there is a list of announcements and there are calendars and all sorts of exciting things for you to look over. Don't hesitate to ask someone after worship. There will be an elder standing at the communion table if you have any questions. And just a few announcements this morning. First is to welcome you to our Food and Faith, as you could see from the communion table worship series, as we celebrate the abundance of God's gift in food. And we're going to do that by eating, of course. So following worship, there is a congregational potluck today, and hopefully many of you took up the challenge to prepare a dish to share with one local ingredient. But please, don't feel bad if you didn't. The whole point is for us to come together, celebrate, and enjoy this meal together. So please join us. We have a few other folks who have announcements about great things going on. Peter.
Good morning. Next week, you have the opportunity to decide the direction we take with what we've called before Second Hour. Adult Education is going to change its name, and we're at the crossroads now. So next week, we will be presenting you the bare bones and the framework for where we will be heading in 2013. It'll be a series of journeys. But before we set off on the journey, we need some destinations. That's where you come in. It will be at that meeting that we decide where we're going, when we're going, and at what pace. So really need you to be there. I'm hoping via this communication, and everyone who has an email, I hope I'll be sending you an email too. Thank you.
Good morning. Next Sunday is our kickoff Sunday for Sunday school, all grade levels through high school. For those children in preschool through sixth grade, we ask that you bring in your registration forms and a vegetable. Maybe a vegetable that you grew from your seeds in June. We are going to fill a basket and bring it to one of the mission sites here in the Rochester area. The Sunday school teachers are very excited to meet you and to work with you, and there's some biographies on the kiosk if you want to get a little head start to find out who's teaching you. So we're looking forward to next Sunday. Sunday school starts. Thank you.
Good morning. The new hymnal is going to be published in the second half of 2013, and we are going to start selling book plates today. Why, you ask? Because, as a good Presbyterian, we all love a discount, and if we can pay for our full set of hymnals by the end of this year, we will save ourselves $6 a book. So the Public Worship Committee will be down in the Fellowship Hall every weekend and selling book plates. If you don't know what a book plate looks like, feel free to open your current blue hymnal. There's book plates in the front of those. And if you haven't seen the new hymnal, there are samplers in the pews, and a list of all the songs are in the back of the sampler, so you can see what we're going to have for our new hymnal. Come down and see us. Book plates are $15 a piece. Thank you.
All right, I have a couple things about the Wheel-a-thon. First of all, isn't it great to have a whole insert dedicated to the youth program? I think that's great. So you'll see in the insert that the Wheel-a-thon is coming up. It's Saturday this year on the 29th. And we're trying to go a little bit higher tech to drive the reach of the fundraising beyond our church walls. So we've set up a PayPal account. And for the congregation, this gives us an opportunity to, if you don't find a youth to sponsor or they haven't approached you, you can still make a donation online. And PayPal allows you the opportunity to do it via credit card, or if you have a PayPal account, you can donate through that. For writers, the good news is that beyond hounding your friends and congregants and family, you can put this on your Facebook page. There's a way to like the page that we've created for the donation, and as you make your post, you can then have all your friends or family from far away also make a donation. So we really hope that by getting ourselves out there online, we'll be able to up the success of our fundraiser, and it's of course very important for our youth. So how do you get to it? If you go to the GPC website, there is a section for the Wheelathon already posted, and if you just keep clicking through a couple of links, you'll get to the actual fundraiser page. It'll be obvious. And then at the bottom, you'll see the actual PayPal donation button. So give it a try. You can come see me after church if you want. I'll give you a little demo. I've got it on my iPad. And, you know, start using it now. Let's get out there. The Wheelathon is in 3 weeks, I think it is. 2 weeks? 3 weeks. 29th. Whatever that is. So let's start using the page and really get that out there so that people have a chance to donate. Thanks.
Are there any other announcements this morning? Carolyn.
And I'd like to announce that next Sunday night is the kickoff for the youth groups. So youth, plan to be there. We've got a great party planned for you.
We know that summer is over, school has started, and church life is busy again. And we celebrate all that is going on in the life of this community. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God. And join together in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Our God is an awesome God who breathed into emptiness and created all that is. With love and care, God shaped the world in all its diversity, with mountains and valleys, rivers and deserts, and people of all colors and sizes. And threading through it all are beautiful dreams of justice, compassion, liberation, and peace. O God, creator of our past, our present, and our future, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow on us each moment. Be with us now. Draw near to us as we draw near to you. Lead us in the paths of righteousness. Fill our hearts with compassion and a thirst for justice. Teach us to be co-creators with you of a world where all belong and share in the abundance you have given us. Praise be to God.
When we come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God loves us and forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Most holy God, you call us to a life of holiness. We confess to you our theft of your good gifts of the land, our hoarding, which leaves little for our neighbors. We confess that despite your trust of us to be good stewards, we have failed in our ignorance and acts of omission to protect these precious gifts. We have made food a commodity, an attempt to separate ourselves from the goodness of the earth. We pray that we may be open to your love for all your creation, so that we may live the life that you intended for us. We pray that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. We are created in the image of God, and indeed our goodness is assured over and over again. The gift of forgiveness is made revealed through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward. Let's see. Let's go over here. Morning. How many of you started school this week? Did you have a good week? I'm so glad. School's fun. Now, I brought something to show you today. Who knows what this is? It's mayo. That's exactly right. It's mayo. Where do you think I got this? At the grocery store. That's exactly right. Well, you know, farmers grow things that we get at the grocery store. Do you think a farmer grew this? No? You don't think there's a crop out there called mayo? No. That would look funny, wouldn't it? Well, actually, you're pretty much right. But not completely right. Because actually, farmers did grow the things that go into this jar of mayo. Did you know that this is like a jar of mayo? There's mustard seed. Mustard's made from that. A little bit of mustard goes into mayo. There's an egg that came from a chicken farm. It goes into mayo. There are olives. Came from an olive orchard. Those are pressed and made into oil. It goes into mayo. There's a lemon. It came from a lemon orchard. That goes into mayo. Lemon juice goes into mayo. How about that? What this is? Salt. A little tiny bit of salt goes in the mayo, and this salt came from the Mediterranean Sea. Sea salt. And this, these are grapes. Grapes. Who knew grapes were in mayo? But you know what? The grapes are pressed and become vinegar, and vinegar goes into mayo. So all of these things go into a jar of mayonnaise, of mayo. It takes a lot of farmers to make one jar of mayo. There are lots of farmhands represented in that jar. God has given us a wonderful world, a world where we are provided with food to eat through the work of farmers. God gave us the sun and the rain and the earth to make all these products wonderful for our food. So I thought today we would take this and put it on the communion table just as a way of saying, thank you, God. So come with me.
Let's have a prayer.
Thank you, God, for the sun, for the dirt, and for the rain, and also for the farmers that produce our food. Amen. What? You can go back to your family.
The first reading of the word this morning is from John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." And so they did do that. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn it, they knew where it had come from, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Canaan of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
for anyone who couldn't see. All of God's creatures were coming to listen to that beautiful sound. Amen. This morning, our second scripture reading comes from the first chapter of Genesis. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild things of earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything God had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. On food and faith. I set the table here with a variety of foods. Some are pretty familiar. Squash, apples, rice, some corn and carrots. And these items are overflowing in their baskets at our grocery stores and farmers markets this time of the year. Which, by the way, you didn't see on Facebook, all of the local food that is on our table this morning was donated by Tony at the farm stand on Chilai Avenue, right there near Chestnut Ridge Elementary School. I'm a frequent customer there, and when I was buying produce for this morning's worship, I was telling Tony about what we were doing because he said, "Well, Melissa, you don't normally buy this much, so what's going on?" And I shared with him about our Food and Faith Worship Series and how we've been collecting food and donating it to local soup kitchens. And he looked at me, he said, "Melissa, this one's on the house." What a great gift and blessing. And so here it is. What a great way to live the good news of the gospel. And I also brought some not-so-local items, too. The pineapple, the mango, pomegranate, one of my favorites. And those items traveled thousands of miles to end up in the produce section at Wegmans. And this one, I'm not really sure, but I think God was showing off just a little bit in creating this. And I've always wondered items like this that, you know, they hurt when you pick them up. Who was it thousands and thousands of years ago who thought, I'm going to eat that? So when we walk down the aisles of our grocery stores, we walk and we look at all the items and we're overwhelmed by the choices that are in front of us. Food choices that generations before could never even had imagined. And these food choices expand beyond the grocery store to include food that is prepared and packaged for convenience and speed. Most of us don't even think twice anymore about getting in our car, pulling up to this computer screen, talking to a box with a voice in it to order a meal, drive a few feet, hand someone our credit card, and 5 minutes later, you drive away with a bag of food that is more often than not hot. Sometimes it's good. But then we just kind of mindlessly put it into our mouth as we're driving and flipping radio stations. I don't know how you do that, but some of us wait until we end up back at our desk in front of the computer screen, eating away. Food in our culture today is not so much considered a mystery or a gift as it is a commodity to be purchased, to be consumed. When we go to the restaurant or grocery store, we simply assume that the food we want will be there. We don't give a whole lot of thought to how it arrived in the store or from where, who the companies are that produced the food, what the production practices are, what the conditions of the land, the animals, and communities that grew the food are, what the ingredients in the food are. These are oftentimes unknown, and in some cases, unpronounceable. We know that if we want spaghetti sauce and pasta and garlic bread for dinner, we can just buy it off the shelves or have a prepared plate set in front of us in a matter of minutes. And all of this, it seems that we are missing a key component of our eating lives that God intended. Relationship. We hear all about how people have unhealthy relationships with food, often referring to those who are emotional eaters, can't resist unhealthy cravings, even have addictions to eating, and that doesn't even include the scope of aggressive marketing of foods that are high in fat and high in sodium. And then the counteractive aggressive marketing continues as we have bought into these highly processed, convenient foods. And now we're told the many ways we can refrain from eating the meat or the carbs or just eat something like cabbage to lose the excess weight. What we don't often hear about is the relationship that God calls us to have with what we eat. It's no accident that Scripture located the first human drama in the Garden of Eden, literally the Garden of Delight. It's humanity's original and perpetually originating home, the place of our collective nourishment, inspiration, instruction, and hope. With eyes and tongues, noses, ears, fingers, and toes, it is the place where people first taste and fully sense the grace of God. From the verses we read this morning, we learn that we are the beneficiaries of a world of gifts, creatures made by and dependent upon God, amid plants and animals, and in terms of the caring conditions of the soil, the water, and weather, people discover what it means to be marked by hunger and blessing, morality, ignorance, and interdependence. It is here in the garden where we are given our most fundamental identity and vocation, which is to care for and be in relationship with the goodness of these gifts. Our relationship to food and how important it is to our relationship with God and one another is woven throughout the story of creation and the Hebrew scriptures. In fact, there are very few teachings, miracle stories, or events in Jesus' life that don't include food. Our relationship with what we eat is extremely important. And we've gotten really far away from that. And so how is it that we take that first step in reestablishing our relationship with the gifts God has blessed us with? The first way might be to start asking very simple questions. Start with, what is this? Right? If you're eating an apple or a green bean, that's pretty easy, obvious. But take a look on the table at the instant mash potatoes. And with, from my cupboard, and with ingredients like monodiglycerides and phosphate, I don't know even what that is. So what is it? Just ask anytime you're eating something, what is this? And the next question you might ask yourself is, where did it come from? And I'm not just talking about Wegmans. We will talk more in depth about this in the next 2 weeks, but in the context of the Genesis passage, we constantly keep in mind that our food comes from, all of our food comes from God's gifts, seeds, like we talked about in June, that grow in the gift of dirt, nurtured by God's gifts of water, sun, and air. The food is cared for, harvested, transported, and prepared by God's gift of people. I challenged everyone for this morning, for the potluck, to bring a dish that contains one local ingredient. So as you explore this second question of where did my food come from, I invite you to ask that question with the folks at your table during the potluck. Talk about how that experience went. Did you meet the farmer, like Tony, at the farm stand? Did you learn where the farm was located that the food came from? I invite you to ask each other, so the dish that I made, could I have prepared the whole entire thing from ingredients that I knew exactly where everything came from? I made something, and I can honestly answer that I don't know where it all came from. The tomatoes came from Hilton. That's all I know. But finally, our potluck today will also capture another important aspect of reestablishing our relationship with God's gift of food. Celebrating it. Celebrating it. It's no coincidence that the central Christian sacrament is a meal. We have this huge table in our worship space to remind us of that. That a meal brings joy and community to the body of Christ. God knows that meals have power to bring incredible unity. So, for example, preparing and sharing a meal with others can bridge cultural and racial divisions, dissolve simmering tensions. Has anyone ever read the book or watched the movie from the late 1980s, Babette's Feast? Really? No? My husband said this would happen. When you read sermon commentaries and then you find this movie that has this great sermon illustration, I went and I rented the movie and watched it. Great movie, highly recommended. But I'll give you the short version. It's all about this impoverished village in Norway. There's this Lutheran community that is run in a very controlling and soulless way. And so they all wear black, and their diet consists of this boiled cod and gruel made from boiling bread in water and beer. And one day, this French chef, a lady called Babette, arrives at their doorstep with no money and works for them for 12 years in return for bed and board, no money. But over the years, the community becomes increasingly broken, riddled with resentment, distress, and one day Babette discovers she's won the lottery. 10,000 francs, and unbeknown to the community, Babette decides to spend her entire winnings on treating this Lutheran sect to a lavish French feast with the finest food no one can ever imagine. As the divided community sits at the table together and eats together, a brother who had cheated another on a business deal confesses. Two women who had not spoken since a dispute 2 years before find themselves talking and laughing. And the community grows together again, celebrating and sharing food together is wonderfully powerful. This joyous celebration that God associates with food can also be seen in the scripture passage that Carol Ann read, Jesus turning water into wine at the feast in Cana from the Gospel of John. It's hugely significant that Jesus' very first miracle in this gospel, a sign of his kingdom values, is a celebration in community around good food and good drink. As we go from this worship space this morning and we gather around tables for the potluck lunch and we continue with our day and our week, we inevitably will all be sustained with the life of creation that God has blessed us with. As we do, so may we relearn how to value and be in relationship with God's gift of food. Let us learn again to celebrate the wide variety of delicious, diverse, and even bizarre-looking foods God has made to excite our taste buds, to bring people together, and to sustain us physically. Together, we rejoice in the abundance of God's world, the fantastic fruitfulness of this beautiful earth, and we give our thanks to God. Alleluia. Amen.
share your prayers of concern and your prayers of joy.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to thank all you wonderful people for the many cards and good wishes and so forth on Jack to his 94th birthday. Also, Jack and I are very, very proud of our 8.5-year-old great-granddaughter who all on her own decided last week to have 10 inches of her hair cut off for the locks of love. She saw all these little people with no hair and felt so badly she decided to share some of hers with them. And we are so very, very proud of her.
Amen. Cheryl Fennell, prayers for my 86-year-old mother who this Tuesday is having some major surgery.
Gretchen Green, prayers for my son who had surgery on Friday for a punctured eardrum. Turned out much more serious than they were expecting. It has a 50% chance of being successful, if not more. Surgery will be required. This could have a major impact on his career. He is a commercial airline pilot and might not be able to pass future physicals. So prayers, please. Thank you.
Ron Steinmiller, just like to ask prayers for my mom who's having a pacemaker put in.
Mary Beth McKenzie, I just wanted to mention that we share a pew usually with Jen and Jerry Tregay. They were in a car accident earlier this week, totaled their car. Jen is still in transitional care in Unity with a new pacemaker. And she has a pre-existing health condition that makes it a little challenging for them to reach out to people. So I just wanted to encourage you to reach out to them when they're back. Thank you.
Let us pray.
Thank you. I would like prayers for my son-in-law, Bill Wooden, who's going through extensive treatment now for a very stubborn lung infection, which he probably will have the rest of his life. But we'd like him to at least be able to function. Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, you have created for us a magnificent world, and we praise you for it. We confess, however, that often the conveniences of our life blind us to the wondrous beauty of the sacred design of the life cycle. We complain when dirt gets into our home, when rain spoils our plants, and when the sun burns our skin. Remind us, O God, of the renewing energy of these very elements. Elements that restore us and energize us through the foods we eat. Help us to remember the many faces behind the meals on our table. The farmers, the transporters, the processors, the grocers, the cooks, and so many others. For we yearn to understand the complexity of the food issues in our world. Open our minds, increase our vision, direct our action. And we pray this morning for our sisters and brothers throughout the world whose food supplies have been interrupted by drought and floods, warfare and politics. And we come today lifting up our brothers and sisters in Syria. Comfort the many who have lost loved ones in this civil war. Strengthen those who embrace principles of liberty. Enlighten world leaders to peaceful ways of supportive action. And we pray for our own loved ones going through difficult times. For those mentioned today and those we hold close in our heart, hear now our silent prayers for those we love. Hear us as we come together, pray in the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven,
us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive
Let us bring our gifts forward.
I invite you to a time of prayer as we say together the prayer of thanksgiving that we'll be saying each week through this worship series printed in your bulletin. God of our future and our present, help us to enable life's great feast to happen here and now, to open hearts and hands, baskets and pockets, to share bread with our neighbors, to share peace with our neighbors, so that in the most ordinary of miracles, all are fed. Amen.
Thank you.
we go forth from this place recognizing that God indeed has blessed us with the abundance of life and gifts surrounding us. May we continue to be sustained by the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
How's everybody doing?